Following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
One of my good friends, Tommy Cota, is going to come and share the Word of God with you. He is from Hope Alive in Santa Ana, and just a really wonderful man of God. I'm so thankful to be serving Jesus in the same generation as him. So shalom, shalom, and may God bless you guys. Pray for us as we fly home, but would you please welcome Pastor Tommy Cota. Love you all.
That is so cool. All the way from Israel. He did that, right? That's awesome. Did you see the name of the building right there? Joy, right? I think he did that on purpose. Yeah, that's so awesome. Well, man, praise the Lord. I'm so blessed to be here with you all and to share God's word and, you know, just to dig into God's word together. And there's nothing like it. Just last night, we were going through the word. Our midweek at our church is on Tuesdays, and we just started Deuteronomy. And in Deuteronomy in chapter number one, Moses is told by God to get up. And so Moses gets up and he begins to speak to, you know, the generation of Israelites that are going to go into the promised land, right? And so what he's doing is kind of like restating a lot of the law and you know, kind of, hey, learn from all the bad mistakes. But there's a word there that says explain. So he begins to explain, you know, the instruction of God. And that word explain there in the Hebrew has the idea of digging deep. And I just love that because it resonated with my heart because that's what I desire to do with God's word is to dig deep, you know. And sometimes I can remember back in the day when I was hanging around with all my friends and everything, and I would like be looking for some chump change, and you know, tell my one of their friends in the back that, hey man, start digging deep, you know, dig deep into those pockets. Well, listen, this is a different kind of digging deep into God's word. Much like someone who's on a treasure hunt or someone who's mining into a mountain for gold or for some treasure, you know, they just keep on digging. And that's my prayer this tonight with you all, is just to dig deep into God's word, enjoy the fellowship with God, his word, the power of his Holy Spirit and everything. Amen. Isn't that great? I love your pastor too. Pastor Bills, he's just an amazing guy. Yeah, man, praise God. That's so awesome. And just love hanging out with him. We get to pray on Wednesday mornings together, he and I and a group of other men. And it's just really cool because we pray. We just, you know, man, we're just, you know, battling and prayer, you know, being a prayer warrior with him. And it's really neat. I got to tell you, even this, I'm going to share this. My wife, years ago, I had just gotten saved, and my wife heard a message on K-Wave, and she, you know, it really, the message really ministered to her, and so she wanted to call K-Wave, and who it was, you know, she didn't know who the name of the pastor was or anything. She kind of gave a time slot. She wasn't sure. Anyways, they got her in touch with Pastor Bill here at Calvary Chapel Refuge. I think it was before Calvary Chapel Refuge, Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach, right? And so he calls, or she calls him, and they're talking, and it turns out wrong guy, right? Wrong guy. But my wife pours out her heart, you know, over the phone, and man, just, and you all know this, classic Pastor Bill, just so gracious and loving and kind and gentle. Listened to every single word that my wife had, prayed with her, encouraged her, and, you know, and it was just a really neat. So when I had the chance to meet Pastor Bill, I just, man, I wanted to thank him. Like, thank you for just ministering to my wife. It really meant a lot. And so, anyways, that's kind of, you know, my heart for Pastor Bill and everything, but that's a good thing. Amen? Yeah, let's pray. Father, Lord, we love you. We're so grateful that we can be here in your house, here in this place, Calvary Chapel Refuge in the city of Huntington Beach on this particular day. And God, we pray, Lord, that we would consider the truth of your word, Lord, and that we would just listen, that we would read and listen with intent, Lord, with an intent to follow, with an intent to receive what you have for us here tonight. And so, Lord God, would you bless? Lord, minister to our hearts. We pray for Pastor Bill and his wife. Lord, would you keep them safe and may they have safe travels. And Lord, we ask now that you would just help us, Lord, in every aspect of our life in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, let's open up our Bibles tonight here in the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke in chapter number 9. And as you're turning there, you know, God's been doing a lot of neat things there at Hope Alive Church and opening up some doors for us. For the past several years, I've been able to be within the school district and do ministry in the Santa Ana Unified School District with Release Time Christian Education. I don't know if you've ever heard of it or anything, but it's a ministry, it's a program where we get to go into the schools. And I've been doing this for some time, and about maybe 6 months ago, or probably a little bit longer than that, I was approached by the superintendent of Orange County of schools. And he and I had lunch, and he had asked me if I would, consider doing more. And so as a result of, you know, just praying, and you know, this is from the, you know, the school, the Department of Education, you know, they contracted me. Actually, they say, hey, we want to give you, would you be willing to be contracted by the county to go out into the schools and to, you know, kind of continue to do what you're doing, but with the purpose of really gang prevention, drug prevention and intervention, and, you know, times of and seasons of crisis for young people, you know, suicide, all this other stuff. And I was like, yeah, sure, I'd do it, you know. And it was funny too, because his first question to me was like, are you able to receive money? And I went, yeah, sure can. But it was just really neat, because I just felt it was really authentic, and it was from the Lord, you know. And so God's been opening up some doors for us. And so I get to have the privilege now, you know, to go on to school campuses with an identification and a lanyard. And it just opens up so many more doors of ministry, you know, not just with students, but I get to minister to teachers and, you know, hey, what are you doing? Are you a teacher here? I was like, no, I'm actually a pastor. What are you doing here? You know, and I start talking to them, and then they start talking back to me. And we just start, you know, next thing you know, I'm praying for this, you know, math teacher right there in the hallway. You know, of course, he's got one eye open, like, hurry up, man, pray. You know, I don't want to get in trouble. But anyways, God's been opening up a lot of doors. Please keep me in prayer. Keep us in prayer and the church Hope Alive in prayer. You know, God's really doing some neat things. So it's an amazing thing. You know, as I was preparing and just thinking of you know, just sharing tonight, I was thinking of how, you know, how many people in the world, they want to follow Jesus, right? And people do. It's like, I want to follow God. I want to follow, almost like it's a cool thing sometimes, you know? But here's the thing, and that's exactly it, is that many people want to follow Jesus, but they want to follow Jesus on their terms, right? I'm going to follow Jesus like this. And I want to do it like, you know, from a distance, or how I want to do it, not like how anybody else tells me to follow Jesus. And well, we all know, right? That is not how it works. We do not follow Jesus on our terms. We follow Jesus all on his terms, right? Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, it's on his terms. Because imagine if it was on all on our terms, you know, there'd be a messed up, it'd be a jacked up church, excuse me, but it just would be. We'd be like crazy people, you know what I mean? And just wouldn't be right. So here in the Gospel of Luke, and what we're going to be looking at is just following Jesus. That's the title of today's message that I'm going to share with you. And here towards the end of chapter number 9 is after the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus, he begins to make his aim towards Jerusalem, all right? And as he's going and he's making his way, we are told there in verse number 53, it says, you know, as he's, you know, passing through and he sends people, he says, verse 53, but they did not receive them. You see, because the messengers had went before to go into the village of Samaria, okay? And so to the Samaritans, say, hey, go over there to the Samaritans and just make sure that they're ready. Check it out, verse 53. But they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. So they did not receive Jesus. And you know, when we think of this, you know, it's just like they didn't receive Jesus. You know, for those of us here in this room, we probably think, man, what's the matter with them? Why wouldn't they want to receive Jesus? It's like, that's like a no-brainer. Well, it is for us here, right? Like, no-brainer. We want to receive Jesus. We want to follow Jesus. But just think back before you got saved. Not everybody wants to receive Jesus. It's not always like that. You know, and some of us have probably experienced that when we've gone out to share the gospel or to, you know, share God's love or talk about the cross with family members or whatnot. Or even you can remember how you did not want to receive Jesus at one point when you knew that one of your aunts was coming over or somebody. Oh, man, no, not her. She's going to tell me all about Jesus. No. I remember I was in prison. And my aunt, she come to visit me with my mom, right? And so I didn't know she was coming. And so they called my name for a visit. And I go, you know, get all ready. And I go into the visiting room and everything. And I'm getting ready because they're in the visiting room. You can get popcorn and stuff, right? So I was like, man, I'm going to get my bunch of popcorn as I can, right? Probably try to stuff some down my pockets or something. Anyways, we get there and I see my aunt, right? And now if you can imagine me probably, you know, with a bald head, like with the razors, you know, I bicked my head, just bald head, you know, big, longer mustache, you know, pants, probably wearing size 52 pants. You know, you got to make that crease right there, you know, long baggy shirt, you know, and some of you might be saying, well, isn't your shirt kind of baggy now? No, this is like really tight compared. All right. I'm just saying. And I come walking out, you know, to the visiting room. I can't even fake the walk no more. You know what I mean? It's like, feel weird. God made me normal. That's a good thing. Amen. But I remember I get to my table, probably like 5 feet within the table of me visiting with my mom and my aunt. And my aunt, she's just, all of a sudden, she looks at me. She says, you look like a duck. And she says, you look, you walk like a duck and you're talking like, you're nothing but a duck, like everybody else here. I'm like, hey, Tia, be quiet, you know. Aunt Vic, you know, we called her Aunt Vic. Aunt Vic, calm down, it's all right. But you see, what she began, I sat down, you know, and my mom went and got popcorn, so that was cool. But here's the thing, is my aunt started telling me all about Jesus, and I didn't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it about Jesus. You know, I just kind of rejected and I rebelled against, you know, the cross or hearing anything about, you know, what she had to say to me about Jesus. And so, you know, again, here in the Gospel of Luke, here in chapter number 9, this is what we see here. They don't want to receive Jesus. They rejected him there in verse number 53. They did not receive him, you see. And then in verse number 54, we're told that his disciples, man, I love James and John, you know. They're like, what? You don't want to receive Jesus? Jesus, let's take him out. We can whack him right here, right now. Blow him up to smithereens right now. You know, we can take care of it, you know. And I just love, you know, this. They were being, you know, they were real, right? And so as they want to call down fire from heaven, but what does Jesus do? I love this. This is the heart of our God right here. My friends, this is the heart of our God. Check it out. It says, he turned and rebuked them, verse number 55. Jesus did. He says, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. You don't know what you're saying. That's exactly what the devil wants you to say. Look at verse number 56. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. My friends, if that verse is not circled in your Bible, can you please circle it or highlight it, underline it or something? Check your neighbor's Bible. Make sure they're doing the same thing. You know, if not, do it for them. This is an important verse right here because here we see, you know, the ultimate plan of God right here. The ultimate plan of God here is to save lives, not to destroy, but to save. And isn't this something that so many people think today, in the sense where they got it twisted? They think God, you know, hates them and God, you know, is going to destroy them or God has a bad plan for them. That is not the case. I talk to, you know, plenty of young men and young women in high schools and everything, and I have a whole bucket, you know, of just questions because I let them ask questions, and I get a question like this often, like, why does God hate us, or why does God hate people, or why does God destroy people, why does God send people to hell? See, that's their understanding. The ultimate plan of God is not to send anybody to hell, is not to destroy anybody's life. The ultimate plan of God is to save a life. And I got to tell you, thank you, Jesus, saving me, saving you. Amen. Think about it, folks. Isn't this great? We are going to be in heaven. I can walk away right now. Mic drop. Boom. You know, I can just walk away. That's good. We're going to be in heaven. Your faith is in Jesus. We're good. Right? We're going to be in heaven. That's the ultimate plan of God. I love God's plan. And this is why, my friends, this is one of the reasons why the ultimate plan of God to save people, this is why he calls many people, he calls many and gifts many people to go out into different areas of the world as a missionary, right? Because the ultimate plan of God is to save people. And so, you know, Jesus, he's in heaven, the Holy Spirit is here, and God calls and gifts particular people, not just to sit around, you know, but hey, for some, he'll call to go and do missions. For some, he'll call to go, you know, and into this part of the world or this part of their state or to this part of their city. For some, they'll call to go into school districts. You see, and also for some, God will even call and gift individuals to provide and to help support economically and prayerfully those ministries that God has set on people's lives, right? So that they can go out and preach the gospel that many might be saved. Wow. Isn't that good? Isn't that so cool how God just works in that way? I love it. That's the ultimate plan of God. So this is what's going on. The disciples are there, you know, the Samaritans did not want to receive Jesus, right? And James and John, they're rebuked, they're corrected, you know, they understand the ultimate plan of God now is this man, it is to save people's lives, right? We know that Jesus is headed towards Jerusalem. Now, so he's on the road, right? Jesus is on the road. Watch this. Verse 57 is where we're going to pick it up for the rest of our time to the end of the chapter. Now it happens as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Now it happens. Look at those three words right there. Now it happened. I want to encourage you folks. Listen, when the Bible starts off, when a verse starts off and it says, now it happened, take a pause for a second, like, all right, now it happened. I want you to know, something about to go down. Now it happened. Now it's about to go down, right? Now, so you can take a breather, put your Bible down. All right, Lord, let's dig in, because now it happened. Right? And so when the Bible says that, I always take that time and add and say a quick prayer. Lord, may I receive what you have for me here. Notice he says here, I will follow wherever you go. As Jesus here is journeying on the road, there is this guy who comes up. I will follow you wherever you go. Here we see the zeal of a man, right? Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. Man, the Mount of Transfiguration just happened. Miracles just had taken place, right? And Jesus is on the move, and the popularity of Jesus is starting to, you know, the buzz of his name and the buzz of all the things that he's done, all the miracles. And here's a guy, hey, Lord, I'll follow you. Let's do this. I'll go with you, right? And so we see the zeal, we see the passion, but there's no understanding. He's going without understanding. Understanding what, you might say? Well, understanding what? There's a cost. You know, the cost. He's not really truly understanding the cost. And Jesus kind of points it out to him right here. He says, hey, the animals, they have a home. The birds of the air and the foxes have a hole in the ground, but not him. You know, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. In other words, here, Jesus is saying he sacrificed it all. He left it all. And you know, when we think of this, isn't that exactly what Jesus did when he came into heaven or came down from heaven? You know, imagine coming down from heaven. You know, you're going to come down from heaven. You're going to come into this world, and, you know, and you're going to die for the people of that world. You know, and it's like that was the plan of God, and that's exactly what Jesus did. He left the riches of heaven, the glory of heaven, his throne to come down to be. And so here, Jesus, he left it all. He sacrificed it all. The Apostle Paul, He writes this. If you're taking note, you can write this verse down. In 2 Corinthians in chapter number 9, watch this. Paul says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." Think of what God left for you. Think of what God left for us as the church. The riches and the glory of heaven. All for you. All for you. And I don't know, but I know how I think. That's a good thing, right? And there, someone said, yeah, it sure is. You know, and there are times, man, I wake up and you know, I'll just like be thinking about my day or might even be in the middle of the day. And I'm just like thinking like, man, Lord, I'm messed up. Like, why? You love me? You saved me? You know, and I know what's going on in my life at that very moment, and I begin to, you know, feel unworthy. Now, let me tell you something. I don't know if you ever feel that way, but man, I have my battles. I'm sure you got yours too. And these happen to be sometimes my battles that I have. And I, you know, I got to quickly remember, and I thank you, Lord, for the power of his Holy Spirit and the truth of his word, that I can be reminded that that's the voice of the devil. Because I begin to feel like, you know, man, I'm not worth it. And I think of this, like, man, he left the glory of heaven for me, you know, and he became poor so I can become rich. Lord, I'm not even worthy. I'm not worth it. I want you to know this, my friends. Listen, when Jesus was on the cross, you were on his mind. When Jesus was there on the cross, nails, if you can, in your mind's eye, just think of what it may have looked like, what it may have sounded like, what it may have smelled like. Blood smells. I don't know if you ever smell, but it smells. What it may have smelled like. And there's Jesus in agony, taking his very last breaths, all because you were on his mind. I was on his mind. And you know, he was thinking, oh, they're worth it. Tommy, you are so worth this. You know, and that just breaks my heart for God. You know, it's like, oh, Lord, I want to serve you now. How can I live for you? I want my life to be a reflection of your goodness and of your grace. Listen, he became poor so that we might become rich. I love this. So back here in our story, what Jesus, he wanted this guy to truly understand that it's a serious thing to follow Christ. Don't just say, I'll follow you, man. Look at you just, you know, made a whole bunch of, you know, fish tacos the other day, you know, by feeding thousands of people. I'm sure it was fish tacos. I don't know if we can argue about that later. But you know, see, here's the thing. Jesus truly wants this guy to understand that this is a serious thing. Hey, birds have nests, foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Are you serious? Do you understand the cost? Do you understand that this is a serious thing? It's not just a game. It's not a popular thing to do. This is a serious matter. It's not. Jesus wanted this man to understand, hey, listen, don't think you're going to join me, begin to follow me like it's some kind of a social club. Unfortunately, that's what's going on in our world at times, and some church circles. It becomes more of a club. It becomes more of a hangout. You know, hey, we just kind of get together and hang out, and from time to time, we might open up the Bible, but it's all good. We play bingo on Wednesdays. You know? And that's how people still even want to kind of, they have this desire or they have this idea that that's how I'm going to follow Jesus. It's not a social club. Some people, what they do is they just begin to follow Jesus on social media. You know, that's the extent of how they will follow him. Now let's look here at verse number 59 as we continue. Then he said, Jesus, now watch this. There's going to be three individuals we're going to be looking at that we're going to see here. That's the one guy. Then he said to another. Now Jesus now is saying to another. Jesus calls out and he says, hey, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. He said, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. So here Jesus now is calling out to another guide number two. Right? So we had guide number one, didn't consider, wasn't, you know, taking things seriously, wasn't considering the cost. Another guy here, Jesus calls out to him and says, follow me. This word follow me means, has the idea of to be in the same way with, i.e. to accompany, especially as a disciple, to follow. And so to follow closely, right? To follow closely in the same way with. Don't say, hey, I'll catch up with you later, you know. I see you over there. No, follow me closely or be in the same way with. And you know what I love about this too here is that Jesus calls out and he says to him, follow me. God is searching. God is searching for people. God is calling out to people. And when he calls out, well, here in this right here, when he calls out to this guy, what he's doing is he also reveals this guy's own heart or where he is at in his own life. And God does that with us as well. He reveals our own hearts to us in the same way, like he does with this guy. You know, hey, follow me closely. Oh, okay, yeah, but how about I do it on my terms? Or how about I do it, you know, from this distance? You know, I can still see you from afar. What does this guy say? Guide number two here in these set of verses. He says this. I want you to take a notice this in verse number 59. He says, let me first. Let me first. Me first. He says this about him. Hey, let me first go and do what I got to do. Jesus is not asking this guy to follow him on Instagram, as I shared earlier, or on Twitter, you know, as I shared, you know, too many people, I think that's how they rather follow Jesus. You know, hey, I can follow Jesus on Facebook Live right now. Booyah. There it is. I'm on, you know. Hit a little like button and, oh, look, there, everybody knows I was watching. You know, or you see what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm talking about? I'm trying to bring it back here to 2017. You know, how people follow Jesus. And sometimes people think that, well, that's just good enough for them if they were to follow Jesus, like on Instagram or on Facebook or anything like that. To truly demonstrate that you follow Jesus, a true demonstration of a follower of Jesus is expressed through a person's lifestyle. Being a Christian, you know, that's what that means. It's a lifestyle. This is my life. This is what I do. Before I was, you know, my story, before I was a dope fiend, I was a felon in and out of prison. I was, you know, hustling on the streets. I was doing, and my lifestyle, demonstrated that, how I lived. I just didn't talk about it, you know. Can you imagine, you know, if I just, well, I'm glad, you know, I'm not glad about my past. I got to make this clear. I'm not glad about my past, but the whole thing is just like, today I understand this in the sense that I can't just say I'm a Christian. You can't just say you're a Christian if your actions, if your lifestyle doesn't, you know, kind of express it. See, and that's what Christianity is. It's a lifestyle. It's a way of life. You know, it's not a religion. It's not a social club. You know, it's not something to where, and you know, here's the thing, guys, and trip out on this. This is true. Too many people who come into churches, you know, it's as if they clock in at the church door, you know, they punch a clock, you know, all right, I got about an hour and a half. I'll be, hey, brother, hey, how you doing, sister? Praise God. They know some of the songs. They can, you know how to pray. They know how to flip over to, you know, Deuteronomy or something like that, you know, and okay. And then when the church is over with, boom, they get back in their car. They go back home. It's right back. Is it the lifestyle of a Christian or is this like, man, they checked out. You see, they just stopped. And well, I'll be my Christian lifestyle when on midweek Bible study, if I go. And what I'm sharing is, guys, listen, this is what's going on in our world with the church today. I really feel this. that many Christians aren't being serious about their lifestyle as a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. Maybe they haven't considered the cost. You know, they considered the cost that Christ made for them there on the cross, because when an individual truly understands the price that was paid and a person is able to just, you know, man, just know that. You know, man, God died on the cross for me. He died a brutal, brutal, torturous death for me. He allowed whips to be, you know, to rip his flesh off of his back for me. Oh, Lord, what can I do for you? And he's like, just live for me. Just follow me. You see, and this is what Jesus wants us to do. A godly lifestyle, as we see, is demonstrated, you know, is demonstrated outwardly every single day of our life. Also, this lifestyle of a Christian is going to have a concern for the lost. It's going to have a concern, a love, and a love for the lost. You know, and not just like, oh man, we can't have these people here. You know, no, we have to go out. What can we do to preach the gospel? Man, people are dying. People are dying in our streets. People are dying. You know, our neighbors, our you know, the people in your apartment complexes that where you live, or the places where you work. You know, spiritually, they're hurting. And you know, just like how, man, we've all been there. We can all show up places and we can put a mask on and a face on. Hey, is everything all right? Oh yeah, man, things are great. You know, good. When it's really not. On the inside, that person is like hurting. You know, and that's when we pray as a believer in Jesus Christ at our workplace. That's where God has put you. God, I love this about the Lord. He puts his people strategically where he wants you. Your workplace, God has strategically put you there to be a witness, a light for the kingdom of God. That apartment complex where you live, you are strategically put there by God so that you can be a witness, a light there in that place. The neighborhood in which you live, some of the other things that you do, your own family members that are around you. God, hey, God foreknew all of this. He knows all this, and he wants you to be a light, a powerful light, living for him. And how we let this light shine is, well, having a concern for the lost, having a love for the lost, and by going out to minister to the lost. And here with guy number two, he was like, okay, Lord, you're calling me, but oh, let me first go and do this, you know? And I okay, it sounds good. You see, I want you to know this too. We may have some ideas, right, of our own life. Like, oh man, God, I'll do this. Or, you know, maybe you have a sense of what God wants to do in and through your life. But Lord, I got this plan. Yeah, I think I'm going to do what I want to do first. You know, and once I'm older, you know, maybe like when I'm 35 or 40 or maybe 50 and they're 60, you know, maybe God has called you, you know, when you were like in your 20s and you're like, oh, okay, well, that's cool. But let me first go and do this. Let me first finish my school. Well, you know, let me get my career going first. Let me do this first. Let me have a family first. Let me do all this first. And you know what? You keep on saying that, it's always going to be let me first before you, God. Let me first. Let me tell you something. God, he's got bigger plans than what you can think or imagine. Just like right here with this guy, right here. Let me first go and do this. God had bigger plans for this guy. Don't worry about that, man. I got bigger plans for you. Plans where you can just, you know, share the word of God. You see, his plans were no doubt for this man to go and be used by him for the expansion of the kingdom of God. And friends, that's what God wants to do in your life as well. He's calling you. He's saying, hey, I want you to follow me too. And that's one of the reasons why many of us are here, I'm sure. We're all here on this Wednesday night. We have our Bibles and we're listening because we have a sense that God is saying, hey, follow me. And I want you to know that God has a great plan for you. Amen. And get excited about that plan, because it's all good. You might say, Tommy, well, what is that plan? And I'll tell you, I don't know. But I know this, is to use you to expand the kingdom of God. And one way or another, I don't know how that's going to look like or where that's going to be, but I'm telling you, that's what God wants to do in your life. God just doesn't save people to say, okay, you group, okay, you're just saved. Okay, just go and sit over there like at the DMV. Can you imagine that? That's crazy. Now serving number 23. Some of you have been to the DMV, you know what that's like. You're like, oh my goodness, you know? 23, I got number 92. Anyways, God wants to use your life. He's got great, grand plans to use you for His glory. And so here, this guy is like, guy number two is like, hey, I don't know. Let me do this. And God is like, He tells him, Jesus says, let the dead bury the dead. Watch that right there in verse number 60, this part. But you go and preach the kingdom of God. But you go and preach the kingdom of God. I believe God is speaking to some of you, if not to all of us, because this is what God wants every single one of His children to do. Go and preach the kingdom of God. Go and share all the good things that God has done. Go and talk about the cross. Go and share with somebody how they can be saved from their sin, how they can have deliverance from this pain and the emptiness and the despair and the fear that they have in their life. Because people in this world, that's what they're dealing with. Fear, despair, hurt, pain. They're lost. I don't know which way to go. They're hoping people, my friends, listen, please, people, and perhaps maybe even your own family members are hoping that someone would just come to them and tell them that there's a way out. That there's a way out. I'll never forget this. This was a while ago, and some young woman was coming to our home for a Bible study, and she had just kind of recently had gotten saved, I think, and very gifted, you know, just really, man, the Lord was using her, and she was so excited, and she was telling me that she had went to work one day, and she was at a Subway for lunch, and she felt that God was saying that. God was like telling her, I want you to talk to the person that's in front of you about me. And she's so funny. Her name is Deja. And she's so funny because she starts having this conversation and she's telling me, you know, how this conversation sounded like in her head with God. She was like, no, Lord, I am not going to do that. I do not know this person. This person's going to think I'm strange. And she, you know, then God, I want you, Lord, no, this is crazy. And here in the public, no. And so she's going back and forth, you know, with this conversation. And she said, ultimately, you know, they order their food and she, you know, gets her little tray of her, you know, $5 foot long sandwich or whatever it was, right? And sits down and she goes to the person, I am so sorry, but I feel like God wants me to tell you something. And she begins to tell her. She says, that girl, she goes, oh my, she started crying, everything, right? And which is a good thing. This is a God story right here. And she says that as she was getting into the Subway and she was in line, she was just thinking of some things that she was dealing with that was so hurtful and so painful, and she didn't know what to do. She has despair. And she was like, God, would you just send somebody to help me right now? Isn't that awesome? That gives me chills right now. So the next time you're in Subway, there it is. You know, just go and say, hey, you know, I just need to tell you that God, whatever God puts on your heart, but it's to preach the kingdom of God, because you never know. Go and preach, because my friends, let me tell you something. I truly believe this. How many times have I, me personally, how many times have I missed out on those God opportunities because I may have this sense or hear God just speaking to me, hey, Tommy, I want you to go and share this or do that. But Lord, oh, they left. You know, I'm being honest with you, you know, and then I think it's like, oh man, I wonder what would have happened. You know, I am confident though that God met the need in that person's life, because if I wasn't going to step up, there's another believer that would. But you see, I want to be the one to get those goosebumps. You know, I like those God stories. I don't know about you. How many of you like those God stories in your life? Come on, right? So we're all going to go to Subway tomorrow. It's on. But you see, here it is. He has, God has bigger plans, you know, for this guy to go and preach the kingdom of God, and just in the same way God has for us. Look at here now, verse number 61. Here's our third guy. And another, so here's guy number three. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you. Maybe perhaps he heard Jesus tell this other guy, hey, follow me. Oh, yeah, but Lord, I got this other stuff I got to do first, you know. And Jesus, like, hey, let the dead bury the dead. You go and preach the kingdom of God. And then this other guy thought he was cool and smart, like, okay, I'm going to get one ahead of this, of Jesus. Lord, I'll follow you, you know. I just think, see how that's how that guy, in my own mind's eye, that's what he did. I don't know. Another said, Lord, I'll follow you. But let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. No going back or looking back. Lord, I'll follow you. But let me first, guy number three right here, but let me first, another guy, let me first. And what is Jesus telling me? No one looking back is fit. Guys, listen, we cannot look back, or we cannot go back and look back at an old life. Remember Lot's wife in Genesis 19? You guys remember that story? You know, she was like, you know, being delivered, right? Come on, let's all go. And then she looked back. And man, she turned salty. You know, straight up. That's it. She was done. She turned into a pillar of salt. Looking back in life means, friends, listen, this is what it is. Look at Jesus' words here. He says, no one having put his hand to the plow, okay, and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now he uses this term, or this analogy here, is analogy of having your hands to the plow. Right, so there's like a farming and a plow, you know, and what they would do often, you know, and I've never been a farmer, so I read up on this, that's how I know. And so they would look, and they would get their sights, like whether it's a tree or something, and that's my sight. I'm gonna stay there. And so they have the plow, and they gotta really keep that thing steady, right? They didn't have tractors or nothing like that in those days, so they had to keep it steady, keep their sights on there. If a person's like this, looking back, you know, can you imagine what that line is going to look like? It's going to be like, you know, man, drunk driving, you know, 502 status, right? That's not straight at all. It's like going this way. It's going that way. It's all zigzag, you know, and he says a person that looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. We have to keep our sights on the cross. So if we look back, if you look back in your life and whatever it is and however it is that you look back, your sights will be off on the cross, and we should not be doing that as believers. We shouldn't be looking back. Now, it's okay, you know, to you know, in the sense of like look back at our past, in the sense of I'm going to learn from that mistake and it's going to help me with my walk with God. You know, I can look back in the sense with my memory and have the testimonies of all the victories that God has gotten me through. You know, it's like, man, Lord, you are so good. And that's why one of the good things, it's good to have a journal, but looking back in the sense of longing to be back there. That's the idea. Looking back is like, oh man, I kind of wish it was like back in 1988 again. You know, how many of you remember 1988? Man, I'm trying to forget. Anyways, it's all good. But you see, but it's like looking back in that way, like, oh man, remember when, you know, and sometimes you've caught yourself as a believer, you look back at your past and you started off by sharing your testimony, but all of a sudden it's turned into a bragamony, and you're beginning to glorify your past. You know, you're beginning like, oh man, yeah, then this other time, oh, and then another, wait, slow down, bro, you're getting a little too excited about all this stuff. You know what I mean? And that's the idea of looking back, longing. Many Christians are not wanting to let go of much of their past. They're not wanting to let go. It's like, man, I want the promise of heaven, but you know, I got the past, or I got this life still kind of tugging at me. As we've seen here in this text, both of these guys, two of these guys, you know, what were some of the common words that they said? They said, me first. Let me first. There in verse number 59, let me first go and bury, right? And then in verse number 61, but let me first go and bid them farewell. Let me first go and do this. This me first attitude. Following Jesus, my friends, is an emptying of self. Here they are, well, okay, I'll follow, but let me first do this. Let me first do that. Following Jesus Christ as our Savior, as your Savior, is a total complete of emptying out of self, a selfless life. You know, I want to live a selfless life before the Lord. I want to be others-centered. Isn't that how Jesus was? Jesus was others-centered. He was concerned. He had compassion on people. You know, when the people had come down and it was like getting dark and it was getting night, the disciples are like, hey, Jesus, you know, it's about 6 o'clock and it's going to get dark right now and everything's closed. You might want to tell everybody to go home so they can eat because we're kind of hungry too, you know. But Jesus is like, dude, they can't go right now. It's dark, you know. Have everybody sit down. We got to feed. And the Bible tells there in the Gospel of Mark that Jesus had compassion on them. It was his compassion that led him to do that. It was his compassion for his friends and for the people, because he saw how death affected people when Lazarus died and people were weeping and crying. Jesus had compassion and called his friend Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth. Come on. Why? What led him to do that? His compassion for people. Being selfless. Friends, may we exemplify and demonstrate this same kind of selflessness. I love what John the Baptist said. He said, I must decrease and he must increase. I must decrease and he must increase. I gotta, man, get low and he's gotta be everything. You see, it's gotta all be about Jesus. And so here, as we kind of just close down with this, Jesus says, hey, no one looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. No looking back. No going back. No more going back or looking back. It's just having an emptied out of just self. You know what the enemy wants us to do? The enemy, the devil. He wants you to look back at your past as a weapon to use against you, whether good or bad. Some of us have a past that's not so bad, but it's kind of good. And the enemy would have you to look back at that past and a way of like, man, it was so much better when before I became a Christian, because I had so much more. And now that I'm a Christian, it's like, man, God, I'm just like, all right, what is what it is, you know? And people look back at their past, again, whether it's good or bad, and it becomes a vice, and the devil will use it as a weapon against you to be free from bondage, to be free from the grip of the devil. You must turn to Jesus. We must all turn to Jesus and follow him. Completely. Not just allowing our past to keep us down, because that's another thing too. Maybe your past isn't so bright, isn't so good, you know, and that hurt, the shame, the guilt, you know, has you. And it's like, okay, man, all right. And the devil would say, okay, you want to be saved? Okay, you be saved, but you be quiet and sit over there in the corner because of all this guilt and shame of who you once were. I want you to say nothing. I just want to just be right here. Remember when Jesus and the woman that was supposedly caught in the act of adultery? Remember there in John chapter number 8, and the Pharisees came and they brought her down, and Jesus, you know, he begins to write there, and you know, just think of, you know, what's going on as the one by one they all leave, and Jesus gets up and he looks at the woman and he says, "Woman, well, where are your accusers?" And she was like, "They're all gone." And Jesus says, well, neither do I condemn you, but go and sin no more. You know what I love about that story right there is that this woman caught in adultery. She may have had a reputation already, you know, and everything. And Jesus was there by her side. You know, as she was standing there in her guilt, in her shame, and Jesus was there by her side. And Jesus then communicated to her, neither do I condemn you, for there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, right? We've been set free from that. And Jesus was there and he just gave her this commission. He gave her this instruction. He gave her this encouragement. Well, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. Live your life. Live your life now to please God. Don't live your life with the lie of the devil just keeping you down any longer. But follow Jesus. Understand when we follow Jesus, yes, there is a price that was paid, and he paid that price for you and for me. Jesus did. That there is a cost also for us. You know, we have to understand that this is a serious decision. We just can't say, I'm going to follow Jesus and be like, oh, it's all kumbaya, right? I don't even know what kumbaya means. But it's serious when we follow Jesus. It's real. It's a lifestyle. And when we say, okay, Lord, I'm going to follow you, that we shouldn't say, oh, but me, put me first. You know, I should never come ahead. You should never be in front of Jesus. We follow Jesus. I need to decrease that he might increase, right? That's what it's all about. And when we do this, when we're following Jesus, remember, as at this point, your hands are on the plow. You're that farmer now. Right, Jesus, you want to follow me? Great. He gets your hands. He puts you on the plow. Keep your eyes right there. Keep them straight ahead. Keep your sights on the cross. You see that cross right there? Keep your sights on the cross. Don't look back longing. And don't go back. But let's go forward and follow Jesus together as a church, as a family of God. Encouraging one another. You see someone getting their sights off of the cross, smack them upside the head. I'm just teasing, don't do that. They might smack you back. But, you know, get their attention in love. Get their attention in love and say, hey, listen, let's get over here. Let's get back on track. Let's keep your eyes right here. Keep your eyes on the prize, right? On the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, right? And let's do that together. Let's follow Jesus and encourage others to do so as well. Amen? Amen? Father, Lord, we love you. And we're so gracious. Or you are so gracious toward us, Lord. And we're so grateful that we can be here, Lord. And we can say, I want to follow you. And Father, I pray that every person here in this room, Lord, can actually say that with all sincerity, that we want to follow you, that our lifestyle would demonstrate your heart, that our lifestyle would demonstrate your compassion, that we would be others-centered. Lord, that we would be mindful that people need to know you, people are hurting, and that we would just be filled with your Holy Spirit, Lord, to go out and to share that message of love, the message of grace, the message of the cross, and that we can tell people that when Jesus was on the cross, that they were on your mind because you love them. Father, we just want to follow you and follow you truthfully. Friends, I just feel led to do this right now. If for whatever reason, God is just pointing out some things in your life. The seriousness of this life as a believer, perhaps it's just kind of slipped through your fingers, if you will. And God is pointing it out to you today. He's like, hey, I want you to keep your sights on the cross. I want you to understand that this is a real thing. We don't just clock in and out at church, but it's time to make this serious again. If that's where you are tonight, and God and the Holy Spirit is ministering to you right now because maybe you've just been lagging in that, and God's calling you, He's saying, hey, follow me. God is gentle. God is kind. He is loving. If you're battling with that, if you're acknowledged, I want you right now just to raise your hand. Raise your hand. Say, you know what? That's me. Amen. Amen. Yes. Anybody else? As you raise your hand to the Lord, I see you. You're acknowledging, I see you over there too. You're just acknowledging to the Lord, I see you. That God, yeah, that's me. And Lord, I want to follow you with more sincerity in my life. I see you too. Father, Lord, you see the hands and the hearts of every man, every woman who rose their hand today, Lord, tonight, and just acknowledging, I need to be more serious about this. Serious about following Jesus. God, I pray that you would fill that person up with your grace, your mercy, and the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. That they would follow you with all sincerity and be filled with your love. God, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Why don't we all stand? Amen. Let's all stand and let's worship Jesus. As a true follower of Jesus Christ tonight, let's worship him. Let's worship Jesus.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.